the Gospel Hour, making known to this nation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone. I'm David Green, director of the Gospel Hour, and it's my privilege to welcome you to this Lord's Day broadcast. I'm so happy you have decided to share a portion of your worship experience with us today, and I promise you won't be disappointed, as we have a great old revival song for you, and we are continuing with our Sunday-only series, Are You Saved? If not, why not? A question every unbeliever needs to ask. And we'll get to that in just a moment, but right now let's hear Higher Ground, and then Dr. Green.
Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. To scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland.
And now, here with our message, Oliver B. Green.
Now, I'm delivering again today a message on the subject, Are You Saved? If Not, Why Not? Are you saved? If not, why not? I wish you would call some of your friends and neighbors and invite them to tune to this station right now to hear the message on that subject. Now, today, we're continuing the discussion concerning those who say, I'd like to be saved, I want to be saved, but I just know that I just can't live the Christian life. I just can't live the Christian life. So we're going to answer that argument again today from the infallible Word of God. So get your Bibles and turn to 1 John chapter 1, and after I pray, we'll study the Word of God together. Now, kind Father, as we open thy word to study today, give us wisdom and we'll give God the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, beloved, I want us to study a couple of verses. I'm going to read more, but we're not going to study very many. That is, I'm going to read several verses, but our main study will be centered around two or three verses. In the first and the second chapters of the first epistle of John. Now, should you be using a Scofield Bible, it's on page 1321 in the Scofield. Not the Gospel of John, the Epistle of John. Now then, in this epistle we have this verse of Scripture. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Now, you've heard me make this statement on the radio, if you've ever listened to my programs very many times. Every book in the Bible has the key hanging right by the door. That is, there is always a verse of Scripture in every book that unlocks the book. Now, for instance, the book of Revelation. The first verse says, the revelation of Jesus Christ. All right. Verse 19 says, write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. So there is the key. Now, in this book, these things write we unto you that your joy maybe full. Now, in John's Gospel, in chapter 10, Jesus said, I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. It is the spiritual birthright of every child of God to enjoy the fullness of God's grace and the fullness of your spiritual birthright, and to receive a full reward and a full inheritance. I tell you what, if you have your Bible, look at 2 John and verse 7. Now, 2 John has only one chapter. 2 John verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Now, that's these fellows that deny the virgin birth. Any man that denies the virgin birth of the Son of God denies that Jesus has come in the flesh. All right. Now, this is a deceiver and an antichrist. Not the antichrist, but an antichrist. That is, the spirit of antichrist is to deny the virgin birth, because the antichrist says that he is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. And so, any man that denies the virgin birth of the Son of God, that man is the spirit of antichrist. Now, here's the verse I wanted you to see. Look to yourselves. Now, that statement, look to yourselves. Watch yourselves. Be careful. Take care of yourself. That we lose not those things which we have wrought. Not that we lose our soul, beloved, but the works we've done. Listen. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full, F-U-L-L, we receive a full reward. Look to yourselves that you lose not the things which we have wrought, but that ye receive a full reward. Now, here's what I'm saying. Many of you in Radio Land have been born again. You've been saved by grace. You've had an experience with God, but you're living a defeated life now. You're back in the world. You're down. You're out. You're despondent. You're discouraged. And you say, there's no need. There is no need of me trying anymore. I might as well quit. I might as well throw up my hands. I can't make it. I can't make it. I just as well quit. Now, you are the dear people to whom I want to speak today. In John, that is the first epistle of John, chapter 1 and verse 1. Listen, the first epistle of John, chapter 1 and verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, get this now, which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes and have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. John says, it was in the beginning. We've heard it, we've seen it, we've looked upon it, we've handled it, the word of life. Now, in verse 2, for this life, or the life, was manifested, Jesus, and we've seen it and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Jesus, now get it. I want to show you what I'm talking about. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye may have fellowship with us. Now wait a minute. Wait a minute. That we may have fellowship, that ye may have fellowship with us. Now, what you talking about? If John says, I'm writing these words that ye may fellowship with us, he is writing to born again, blood washed, redeemed children of God. Now, beloved, here's what I want you to see. This first epistle of John has been abused and misused and sermonized upon until many people don't know what it is and what it stands for and to whom it is written and what it does. Now, John says, we've seen, we've heard, we've handled, we've looked upon, and he says, we are writing you that we're telling you what we've seen and we're telling you what we've heard, that we may have fellowship together. Ye may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Now, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship one with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. We do not the truth. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. All sin. The sin that would damn us, the sin that would rob us, the sin that would wreck us and ruin us and burn us in a devil's hell. Now look at verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, are you listening? I want you to listen. If we say we have no sin, get it? I don't know. Many times we read the Bible, we don't get it. If we say that we have no sin, most preachers and most people quote that. If we say that we have not sinned, but it doesn't say that. It doesn't say if we say that we have not sinned. And then we say we've all sinned. Yes, we've all sinned. But listen what it says. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now the truth is Jesus. And when Jesus is within you, you will recognize His holiness, His power, His righteousness, and you will also recognize your weakness, your unworthiness, and your inability to overcome and live in righteousness and holiness apart from Him, He, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is righteousness, wisdom, sanctification, redemption, holiness, purity, and all that God demands is wrapped up in Jesus Christ. Now listen, if we say we have no sin, if we say we have no sin, verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Now, do you mean to tell me that you've come to the place, God bless your soul, my dear friend? Do you mean to tell me that you've come to the place that you've been told and somebody told you and you believe that you must live a sinless, perfect life before you can step inside the pearly gates? Now, if that's your argument, I want you to explain the following to me. And don't go away and don't turn the radio off, but be man enough and be woman enough and have backbone enough to listen to what I'm going to read. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us more in righteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, past tense, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. My little children, He didn't say little sinners, little hoodlums, little liars, little thieves. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. I write these things that ye sin not. But listen, it says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. There you are. Jesus the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins. S-I-N-S. S-I-N-S. He is the propitiation for our sins, for our mistakes, our shortcoming. He is the propitiation, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now then, here's the thing that I want to drive home to your precious heart today. If you'll just please accept God's word and junk your religion. Listen. Beloved, some of you people out there who are wandering around, defeated, discouraged, down and out spiritually, all in the name of common sense and Bible doctrine, you need to do is to bow your head and confess your backsliding, and God will restore unto you the joy of salvation. You've sinned. And you thought the minute that you said something wrong, and the minute you acted ugly, and the minute you did something that was not becoming to a Christian, you thought that God snatched away your salvation, snatched you out of grace, and you were lost and doomed and damned for a devil's hell, just like you were before you were professed to be saved. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. What kind of a God do you think God is? What kind of a Savior do you think Jesus is? And what kind of a salvation do you think the blood of Jesus Christ provides? Do you kick your child out and disown him every time he does something wrong? Do you disown your daughter? Do you disown your son? Do you push them out and stomp them down and take their name out of the family register and disown them as yours when they do something that you don't appreciate? Listen, beloved, that's where the glorious part of our salvation rests. Thank God it's not by the blood of bulls and of goats and pigeons. It's not by corruptible things such as silver and gold. It's not by righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, through the shed blood, the washing of regeneration, the renewing, the leading of the Holy Ghost, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If we sin, we have an advocate. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the forgiveness. He is the atonement. He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but hallelujah for the sins of the whole world. Now here's what you need to do. If you've ever been born again, if you've ever been saved, then my dear one, you need to bow your head and repent of your backsliding. You are not enjoying your spiritual birthright. These things write we unto you that your joy may be full. And you're not enjoying your salvation. You've been born again. You know you've been born again. You know that you met God at an old-fashioned altar. And you know that you were saved. You were redeemed. You were cleansed. But you're not enjoying your spiritual birthright because you haven't been taught, and you haven't been instructed, and you haven't been told that when you're God's child and you sin, Jesus is the propitiation. He is the atonement. He is the forgiver. And it's the good pleasure of the Lamb of God to forgive His children when they confess their sins. Let me say this. In John 3:18, John's Gospel, Chapter 3, verse 18. Whosoever believeth is not condemned. If we believe not, we are condemned already because we have not believed. In John 1:29, John said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the S-I-N, sin. He took away the sin of unbelief. He took away the sin of unbelief. He took away the damning sin of unbelief. But He ever lives to intercede for the sins of His people. S-I-N-S. In other words, Mr. Green, according to your doctrine, we've got to sin a little bit every day. Did I say that? And then somebody else says, well, according to your doctrine, Mr. Green, you can live like you please and say, Lord, forgive me, and die drunk and die this and die that and go to heaven. No, God bless you. You didn't hear me say that, did you? You die drunk, you'll go to hell. That's where you'll go. The Bible says, no drunkard shall enter the kingdom of heaven. No drunkard. The Bible distinctly says that sin and unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God, but Christ is the forgiveness. Christ is the atonement. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, and He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. He lives today to intercede and to forgive and cover and cleanse if you'll only confess. You know what you need to do? The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the Bible says, whosoever shall confess, or rather, if we confess our sins, after we have called upon the name of the Lord, after we are born again, when we stumble and stagger under the terrific testings of the devil, the flesh, and the world, when we are tempted, and when we feel in our hearts that we have failed, we've sinned, we've been and said and done what is not becoming to a Christian and to the Lamb of God, when we recognize that we've sinned, God doesn't want us to throw up our hands and quit. God doesn't want us to throw up our hands and say, well, I can't make it. I can't live it. It's too hard. I can't. There's no need to try. That's not it, brother. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us. Cleanseth. Progressive. There's enough blood, praise God, to cover every sin that you've ever committed and to take care of every mistake and every omission and commission that you may commit until you're safe in the arms of Jesus. If you've sinned, if you're miserable, if you feel like you've lost out and you're down and out, and what's the use to try anymore? God help you. God help you. My precious one, God help you. Just bow your head and say, oh Lord God, I confess. I confess that I've sinned. I confess that I've done things, I've said things, and I've been things that I should not be. I should not do, I should not say, I should not go. And God will forgive you, and He'll restore the joy that you lost when you sinned and refused to confess it. Some of you dear people in Radio Land, all in the world you need to do to bring back the abundant joy that you used to have, you need to bow your head right now and come clean with God and confess your backsliding, and He'll forgive and cleanse from all sin. Father, help that poor, miserable backslider to come home, to bow their head, confess their sins, and straighten up with God right now. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Friends, this is David Green once again, and I do have a few minutes left in the program, and I would like to spend that time telling you about our gift offer I. Now, this is the last week for this offer. We've told you about it for several weeks now, but this is the last week I will be talking about gift offer I. Now, if you write down the information, you can order, and we're certainly happy to take your orders for several weeks to come, but I just cannot talk about it after this week. Now, we also call this our Easter offer because thinking of Easter is what put us in mind to pick out the books for this offer. We do have three great books in Gift Offer I, and it's available to you if you simply ask for Offer I or the Easter offer and send the donation to the ministry in the amount of $20 or more. Please send more if you can. Your donations keep this program on the air. So an extra $20, $30, $40 will certainly be used for God's glory. But if you can send a donation of at least $20 and ask for Offer I, I'm going to send you first a book compiled by us at the Gospel Hour containing articles and messages by my mother. It's called Heavenly Pearls of Truth from God's Word. I'd like to read just a little bit of the foreword that I wrote. It is my great pleasure to offer this compilation of articles and messages by my mother, which were written in the early years of the ministry. These articles were originally written, published in the Gospel Hour News, a monthly newspaper published by my father from March 1947 to July 1965. And these are 12 wonderful articles by my mother that I know you will find very inspiring. Then we have a book by Dr. A.C. Dixon entitled Heaven on Earth, 119 pages long. It's a hardback book, and it contains 13 chapters. And I know that you will learn much about the Bible as you read these. Finally, Glimpses of Heaven, a compilation by us of 5 messages about heaven written by my father, 164 pages long, a perfect bound book. So to get all 3 of these books by my dad, my mom, and Dr. Dixon, just ask for Gift Offer I and send your gift of at least $20. Here's how to make your donation.
Friends, to order this week's gift offer or to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.